Okay, this is the third shiur of the new Avodas Elokim series, we're calling it. Sunday night, ladies' shiur, the third one of this series now. Yotz L'Parsha Shmos, that'll clarify things. Either that or it'll confuse them even more. Okay, we're up to Perek Gimel. And again, just to bring us up to date in Perek Gimel, Ach Geder HaAvoda. What does it mean, Avodas Elokim? It really, again, it can't be stressed enough. You know, when you say we're Avdei Hashem, Hashem doesn't need anything from us. So it's not like we're his butlers and we're serving him. What Hashem wants, Ubir Chelkeha, and the explanation of its parts, Umailos Kol Chelek Mechelkeha Hu, and the benefits of all of the subdivisions of Avodas Hashem, who? So number one is, Shegeder HaAvoda is Kniya. We talked about that last week at length. Avodas Hashem is, what are you to Hashem? What do you mean you're an Eved Hashem? You're his butler? You're his aide? You know, Avodas Hashem is submissiveness. And it's really a very difficult thing for us to... It means that the world and existence is not about us. We're not the center of the universe. Hashem is the center of the universe. It's his ratzon that counts. This is the kniya. Kniya means ratzon Hashem is what's operative. It's not about me. It's not even about my olam haba. See, this is what we have to really get away from. It's not about my getting Olam Haba, and it's not about my getting a reward and punishment. It's an Eved Hashem means that I will allow. Imagine man was not created. I mean, if we go back to the Tohu Vavohu years before the world was created, so all there was Hashem, right? Why he created anything, we don't know. That's one of the secrets of the universe that the Ramchal talks about, the Balei Kabbalah talk about it, about the Hasidus, but like, why did he create the world? But he did. Our job, being an Eved Hashem means to, really it means that things, this is what the Chavis HaLovis is saying, it means that things should remain in their pristine state, in their primeval state, is that the right word? In other words, all there is Ratzon Hashem. If you remember, there's a Rashi in Chumash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu makes a kal v'chomer. It's the, you know, it's the heaven and earth. Oh, if they listen to Hashem, and so certainly we should listen to Hashem, right? And you say, well, they don't have bechira, and we do. The bechira is a choice to let the Ratzon Hashem govern. It's a very important principle. That's what I think I said it over from Rabbi Rucham Lubavitz, Satzal. A constant theme in his shmuzin, in his musar, is that the bechira of a person is to make yourself not have bechira, so to speak. To make yourself a mukhrach, that's his lashon. To make yourself a mukhrach. This is all the same thing. The whole thing is, it's all about Ratzon Hashem. It's not about you. And that's kniya, that's what the Chavis HaLovis refers to as kniya, submissiveness. That it's not, yeah, it's all about being an Eved Hashem, carrying out his will, as if we're here as shluchim. And I mean, this explains, this helps us deal with many seeming inequalities, especially I'm talking to women. I don't know if you, I say, I grew up in the age of feminism, when it was all the rage, when that was like a major impact on society, even more than the hippies and the Beatles and the hippies. Those are the 60s and the 70s. I grew up in those years. I mean, those were my formative years. I managed to live through this upheaval of society. Abby Hoffman, you know, does this mean anything to you? Never trust anyone over 30. I was mamish there. Like, I grew up in those years. And feminism was like major, and that really stayed. Like that, they won. I mean, it made a major impact on society. So some things are good, and the Torah always, you know, equal pay for equal work. I mean, that was always, I mean, the Torah always countenanced that. And the rights of a wife, I mean, if people would know what the Ksuba entitles the wife to, they, and, you know, even Rabbeinu Gershom, I mean, over 1,000 years ago, when he said you can't divorce a wife against her will, so the Rosh says he did it to equalize the rights of the woman. It should be equal to the man. What the Torah's cheshbon is, you know, it's always something that's troubling almost. Like, what was the Torah's cheshbon in allowing a man to divorce a wife against her will? Like, what's... So first of all, there's the Ksuba, which gives her money and support for a year. That's basically the concept of Ksuba. She can negotiate any Ksuba she wants before she gets married. When he wants her and he's in love with her, she can write $1 million into the Ksuba. This is even in the Torah. I mean, right? Ksuba is the Oraisa, and you know, you can negotiate a prenuptial agreement. Ksuba is nothing but a prenuptial agreement. So she's taken care of, but still the concept. So I always thought the concept of that the Oraisa. How do we get onto this subject here? that with the Oraisa you can divorce a wife. I always thought that the Torah did it to protect the woman, that she shouldn't be in a relationship where the husband doesn't love her. So if he wants to be divorced, her, so adarabba, it's good for her that he should just divorce her. She shouldn't hang on and be in a relationship where, you know, she doesn't want to get divorced, but there's no love there anymore. So it's better she should let go. She's protected. She has money. She has money for a year. The Torah wants her to get married again. The Torah doesn't want a woman hanging around in the streets. Excuse the expression. And the Torah wants her to remarry. A woman should be married. Should have a house. Bias. I mean, that's... So she gets her ksuba. Rabbanan came along and saw that, you know, the Yeridus Hadoros, it's not working anymore. It's not a good idea, right? People are taking advantage of the Torah. That can happen. Rabbanan made a lot of their takanas because people started taking advantage of the particular... Because the Torah was written in an ideal world. If people use the Torah for their own purposes and the society turns out messed up because people are using the Torah, you know, using the system. So Rabbanan came up and made a takana. Akoponim, my point is, so but feminism was a very big deal. And so I'm saying, the way to deal with all these things, the way to deal with Korach, with how come we all can't be Kohanim, and the way, you know, Shosani Kirtono, it's all, and men have to deal with that also. I mean, it's not a question of, you know, women, men, it seems like, you know, but men, I mean, people have to deal with not being as smart as the other fellow. People have to deal with who their parents are, what yeshiva they went to, what opportunities they had. Everyone has to deal with the inequality of life. There's inequality everywhere. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this huge jigsaw puzzle with 1 billion pieces, and everybody's one piece of that puzzle to make the Tikkun HaOlam. And some people are here, and some people are there, and some people are this, and some people are that. But once you change perspectives, though, it's much easier to deal with it. Once you change, once you're an Eved Hashem, once you say it's not about me, I'm able to bittul, self-negation, and it's all about the Ratzon Hashem. And that's Avdus. Again, you know, you say, Shara Avodus Elokim, and then Moshe is an Eved Hashem. He was the honor of Mikol Adam. That's what Kenia is. Okay, let's move on. Because the truth is that Chazal discusses this much more at length. Here he just mentions it in passing because he wants to get to the practicality of Avodas Elokim. He just like throws in this definition, but he has a shar called Shar HaKniya, right? The Shar Avodas Elokim, Shar HaBitachon, Shar Yichud HaMayis. So he has Shar HaKniya, where he develops this idea that that's what being an Eved Hashem is, and that's what being an Onav is. The Chavis HaLovas, when he talks about Onav humility, he doesn't talk about it vis-a-vis other people. He takes a different approach than any other Musa Seif, I think, that you'll find. When he talks about Anova, humility, as opposed to Gaiva, he doesn't talk about my relationship with other people. He talks about my relationship with Hashem. To really work out that it's not about me, it's about Hashem. And then he says, if you work that out, then of course you're going to be a humble person. You're not going to feel superior to another person because you're both the same. You're both here to do the will of Hashem. Hashem's will, you're rich, you're smart, you're charismatic, you have leadership qualities. So what? You're only doing the Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem gave you those qualities. And the other person has other qualities. He doesn't have your qualities, he has his qualities. A person who develops his sense of anova vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, that's the real anova. This is all in Shara Kniya. My Kniya is regarding Hashem. Memela, I'm going to be an anova regarding other people. How can I be arrogant? I told you what he says. I said it last week. You see a guy with a navel ring or a nose ring or whatever, spiked orange hair, just for all you know, he's closer to Hashem than you are. You don't know. How can you be a Baal Gaiva? Maybe he's closer to Hashem, maybe he's doing the will of Hashem more than you. You don't know. Okay, so you could teach him that he has to say Kriya Shema Bizman. You can teach him things he doesn't know or he doesn't care about, and you could help him. But that's all. But you don't. Why should you feel superior to him? You have no idea. Okay, that's in Shara Kniya. This is all tangential to Shara Avodas Elokim. It's just he just defines Avodas Elokim because he has to tell you, okay, so what do I do now that I want to be an Eved Hashem? Yeah.
Can I just go back to this discussion on Ksuba? Perhaps you've answered the question.
What?
I was going to say the Bate Din don't seem to recognize it anymore. Is that your reader?
How many hours do you have to spare? The Ksuba became, when Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't divorce a woman against her will, the Ksuba became almost irrelevant. Again, The Ksuba is a prenuptial agreement. You want to say you want to get $1 million when you get divorced or if he dies, so write it into the ksuba. Nothing's stopping you. This is when he wants to marry you, before you're stuck.
Well, he just has
The main purpose of the ksuba is to protect the woman. Once Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't divorce a woman unless she wants to be divorced, so then she's protected. And now she could negotiate. If he wants to give her a get, she could say, okay, I'll take a get. If you give me $1 million, or if you give me this, or if you give me that. That's why the ksuba, since Rabbeinu Gershom's takana, the ksuba is necessary. I don't mean to say it's still necessary, and you have to have a ksuba, and if you don't have a ksuba, there's problems. But the truth is, conceptually, it's become, in its raison d'etre, what it's supposed to be, it's irrelevant after Rabbeinu Gershom. And the post can talk about that. I'm not talking about the ksuba that deals with the other obligations of married life, like mizonos, you know, giving support and providing a house and clothing and shoes for yomtiv and jewelry and a dishwasher and a car. Those are called chiyuve ksuba, but what I'm talking about ksuba is the basic ksuba idea. That what happens in case of a divorce, or if a woman, Rahman al-Islam, becomes a widow, how is she protected? What protects the woman? That's the nub of the ksuba. These other things are amendments to the ksuba, and they exist with or without the ksuba. The chiyuvei, the obligations of a man to his wife and of a wife to her husband, are not really ksuba centric. We call them the ksuba, but it's really, they exist independently of the ksuba. The real ksuba is just the monetary settlement if the marriage breaks up, either through divorce or death. That's really the nub of the ksuba. It became irrelevant almost after Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't divorce a woman against her will, because you hear stories. So one day we'll talk about that. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Vaknia nechlekes l'shnei chalokim. This is like the second line of Paragimel. Vaknia nechlekes l'shnei chalokim. There's two types of knia. Ha'echad is the knia sachos v'yichul behechrech v'chazaka. One knia I'm going to have when you're holding a gun to my head. Or when you have something that I want. I want a reward. I want olam haba. I want money. I'm going to do my boss's will because I want him to reward me. Or a carrot and a stick. That's one type of kniya. The hasheni, kniyas chova. Chova means compelling. I feel that way. The din, legadil leromeim lemisha nechnoen lo. Right? If there's this... The first one is self-preservation. The kniya is not really because of a recognition of who or what that person or that being is. It's self-preservation. I want something, or I don't want to be punished, so I'll be nichna. But the second one is my recognition that being that I'm being nichna to is good, is perfect, and I want to buy into it. I want to be part of his reality. I want to be kosher to him. You see someone that you admire and you like and you look up to, and he's so good and special. You want to hang around him. You want to be part of his household. You want to bond with that person. That's the second kniya. Achachela karishon hu akniya lakel. If we talk about the first type of kniya, the first type of submissiveness, which is self-centered submissiveness, its orientation is really, although it's submissiveness, but its orientation is self-centered, because you want something, or you don't want something, you don't want punishment, you want reward, you want a gain from it. Shetia mitzad ha'ora knuya sher zocharnu. That will come because of ha'ora toronis. That's associated with the rules of the Torah. The Torah's rules are, the structure of the rules of the Torah are with reward and punishment. Do this or else this. Don't do this or else this. That's the nature of rules, that they carry in them reward and punishment, and that's how they function with that dynamic. Shechiyuv miderech hagmul v'onesh b'olam hazeh u'olam haba. He's not negating olam haba. He's talking about olam haba too. No problem. Avol achelik hasheni. But the second type of kniya, hu akniya asher tia mitzad ha'ora hatakua b'seichel. This is his chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Submissiveness of the lower form, where it's really self-preservation, that will be a totsa'ah, a result of ora toranis, of the Torah-centered way of avoda, which is the rules of the Torah, the do's and the don'ts, the ritual. Ritual means do this, or else you'll be punished. Don't do this, or else you'll be punished. Right? So that brings, the orientation is that. It doesn't, in itself, it's hard to, it leads you to a higher form of kniya. But in that, what he calls kniya tachtona, the lower form of kniya, so you're self-focused, within the kniya you're self-focused, and that is the Torah's rules. If you get mired there, then that's where you're going to be. Now you'll get all of my bar. No one's going to get him because they kept the whole Torah. It's great, you know, it's fine. But it's a low level life, low level avoda. Aval achelik hasheni hu akniyah shetiyah mitzad ha'ora tkua b'seichel. What he called ha'ora sechlis, if you remember his words of the previous prokim, it was ha'ora toronis, stimulation of being an Oved Hashem that comes from the Torah's rules, and ha'ora sechlis that comes out of the sense of hakaras hatov that he spent so much time talking about in the psicha, and you just, you know, you just want to bond with Hashem, and you want to do all the things that he wants you to do as a way of repaying him, as a way of expressing your thanks that you exist, that you're alive, that you can breathe, etc. Banotzeres b'teva odom b'kosher nafsho imgufo. Ushtei akniyos mishubachos. Make no mistake, they're both great. Mevios ol derech ha'atzola ba'olam ha'manucha. They're both going to get you to olam haba. Right? This is what he said and developed in the second parak, that the Torah gave its rules and was written and gave its rules because or else you're not going to make it. And he, right, his famous famous. We spent a lot of time on those three reasons: the level playing field, the home team advantage, who gets on the field first, who has allies, who, right? So the Torah is going to get you to olam haba. Ella. She'achas mehena goremes lachaverta. One of them is a stepping stone to the other. Umayla, it's a stepping stone. She'olem mimeno eleha. The hi ha'oras ha'Torah is the stepping stone to ha'oras ha'seichel. Vakniya she'tiyah machmas ha'oras ha'seichel. The derech haraya krovo el ha'olokim. You're closer to Hashem. Uritzuya yoser. It's more... it's more Ratzui, it's more what Hashem wants, it's more what it's all about. L'shiv upon him. He will now give seven reasons. He loves lists, you know, the Chavis HaLovers is the book of lists. The intimate relationship that you'll have with Hashem will come from Ha'ora Sichlis, not from Ha'ora Taranis. He's going to give seven very specific reasons, or reasons, seven ways, like Wonder Bread, right? Seven ways, I think. Wonder Bread is seven ways better than other bread. Oh, anybody here remember? No? Wonder Bread. Eleven? Was it seven ways? Build strong body? No, seven ways. Anyway, seven ways in which Ha'ora Sichlis is preferable to Ha'ora Taranis, but preferable only in the sense of a goal, which is the stepping stone to what? So he already told us that there's two kniyas. I mean, he already gave us the foundation. He's going to now analyze it, and he's going to give us specific reasons, but he already told us the larger picture, that Ha'ora Toronis is basically rules and ritual and schar va'onesh, and it's therefore kniya tachtona, and Ha'ora Sichlis, where you're free floating, you're not tied to the ritual, but you're worshiping Hashem, you're acknowledging Hashem. Right, eating matzah is ha'ora toronis. We know that before 12 o'clock, or if there's daylight savings time, before 1 o'clock, you have to you lean or you don't lean, and you have to cram your mouth full of, everybody's going like that, looking at their watches, measuring out the matzah, choking. You see, in Ha'ara Sichlis, you don't have to do that. In Ha'ara Sichlis, you just say, Ma tzuzu shonu ochlam al shem ma, al shum shalo hispik b'tzekam la'achmitz. And we're not even sure what it means. Like, it's the ge'ula. You know, I mean, we could talk now, it's not to say there, but we could talk like, it's like a little strange, because it's not even the ge'ula. Like, the ge'ula is represented by matzah, but it's the point of matzah is that when the moment came, they were nigal. So like, you know, that doesn't seem to be such an essential part of the Geula. Like, what would have happened if it would have just happened when it happened? Like, you know, boom. That's why it's matzah. Lo hispik b'tzeikom l'achmitz. When the time came, they didn't have any time to wait. Chipozon. Lo hispik b'tzeikom l'achmitz. V'lo yochlu l'ismameya. Ki goroshu mi mitzrayim. Like, the Korban Pesach is Makos Bechoros. Moror is Moror. Pesach is Asum Shenigulu Avoseinu Mitzrayim. But, like, it's not just that Nigalu. It's like an essential part of it, not just a sidebar, a side benefit. First of all, I don't know if it's a benefit. They had to pack the bigs, they had to rush to make the train. They didn't want to be left behind in Mitzrayim. But anyway, I don't mean to give a Pesach class now when I say that. I'm just explaining, like, there's so much there in matzah, and I'm like, it's so. Now you get a feeling for the Chayyus Halvah. It's like it's not about stuffing your mouth like before 12 o'clock. It's not what it's about. It's about Pesach, Zushan, and Machon, Shema. And meanwhile, people rush through, many people, too many people, put it that way, rush through Matzah, Zushan, and Machon, Shema, because they're worried about Chatzos. You have to worry about Chatzos. You have to. You can't. That's what the Chavi Halbava says. If you're not going to follow the rules, then you're never going to get there. But it's not what it's about. So in general, again, the general picture is this Kniya Tachtona, which at the end of the day, despite the word Kniya, is essentially self-centered. I don't want to be punished. I want a reward. So I submit to you because you're stronger than me, or because you can give me what I want. So it's weiter, egocentric. And that, he says, is Ha'ara Toronis. Because the Torah is essentially a reward and punishment document, because that's the nature of rules. The nature of rules is do this or else, don't do this or else. Kniya Tachtona. Eved Hashem is Kniya. They're both wonderful. They both will get you past go and you collect $200. They both get you the Olam Haba. But there's Kniya Tachtona, and then there's Kniya Elyona, where you bond with Hashem, that is a result of Ha'ara Sichlis, not Ha'ara Toronis. No rituals. We're taking the Chodos Halvavos, we're taking the... And that's all the background of that, like in a painting. The background is all Ha'karas HaTov. See, everything like fits together. The background of my Ha'ara Sichlis will be, what can I do for Hashem? He has done so much for me. And that's what the whole psicha was. And that's where my Ha'ara Sichlis is coming from. I want to acknowledge Hashem. I want to pay Hashem back. What can I do for Hashem? He did so much for me. Like in last week's story. So he's going to go now through seven ways, seven reasons, seven aspects, seven manifestations of the superiority of Ha'ara Sichlis. Achad Mehem, number one. She'avoda shetia me'aras ha'Torah efshir she'yiyah ha'odu mechavim bo l'shem shamayim ve'efshir shetia kavanoso l'chanufa u'l'shevach b'nei yodam u'kvodim ba'avura. He says, in Ha'ara Toronis, you don't know the guy's motives. The person's motives, I could put on tefillin every day, and my motive is, because if I don't show up in shul and put on tefillin, someone's going to ask me, where were you? And they're going to maybe figure out that I didn't put on tefillin today. And I can't have that. I'm the rabbi of the shul. Right? So I have to put on tefillin. Like, I'm putting on tefillin because I put on tefillin yesterday. When you follow the rules, there's so much chitzonius involved. I could be doing it by rote. I could be doing it because my neighbor's going to see the mezuzah fell down. I wouldn't be in a rush to put it up. I'll put it up in 2 days. But my neighbor's going to come to my house to borrow a cup of sugar. Say, where's your mezuzah? Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, you're talking with my mezuzah. It's pretty embarrassing. So I'm going to make sure I have the mezuzah up. That's in Ha'ara. Toronis. It could be Mechavon L'Shem Shemayim, but it's so easy and so dangerous that you're doing it L'Chanufa because you want people to hold of you. You want to have a certain social standing. L'Shevach B'nei Adam. It looks bad. Looks bad. U'kvodim ba'avura. Kisharasha, because its root. Miyusad ala tocheles v'horuhus. This is a tremendous statement. It's really, like, if the Chavis Halvavus wouldn't be saying this, anybody else that was saying this would get smacked over the head. He says, at its fundamental root, the Ha'ara Toronis is based on self-centeredness, char v'onesh. So if I can, you know, I'm afraid if I don't put on the mezuzah. The whole thing is what's in it for me. So it's so easy to fall into the trap of chitzainius, where what's the difference if I say what's in it to me because I want to go to Olam Haba? What's in it to me because or else I'm going to go to Gehenim? And what's in it to me because or else I'll be embarrassed from the neighbors? It's all the same line of thinking. You're in the same maslul. So one's a more, you know, one's nicer sounding. It sounds nicer if I want the mezuzah on my door because I want Olam Haba, and I don't want to eat chametz on Pesach because I don't want to get kares, then I don't want to eat chametz on Pesach or else my daughter will never, ever do a shidduch. Right? Or else they won't take me into the Beis Yaakov. Or my son won't get into here or there. That's the same maslul. One sounds better, but the Chavis Halalas is pointing out, it's the same. It's essentially the same. Now, he's not knocking it. Remember, please remember, it'll get you to Gan Eden. It'll get you to Olam Haba. We're not. But he says, so superiority number one of the Ara Sichlis, you see, it's beautiful. He says, you can't do something Shalol Lishma in Ara Sichlis. You can't. Because by definition, you're doing it out of a sense of understanding, of love. You want to bond with Hashem. That's what it means. So you can't do that Shalol Lishma. You can't do that for the neighbors. There is no neighbors. It's just you and Hashem. You can't fall into the trap of superficiality and chitzonius in Ha'ara Sichlis. You can't. Because by definition, it's a pnimi thing. That's what he says. That's number one. Right? Lo tia, it can't exist. By definition, it's me and Hashem. I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do it. And this is my way of paying him back. This is my way of showing that I love him and I appreciate him and I acknowledge him. And I just want to bond with him. Lo yisarebo, it's impossible to mix into it shumchoneif, that I'm doing it so that someone should like me. Velo ziyuf, or I'm doing it for ulterior motives. Mitzatcha yisporebo, so that someone should hold of me and give me a position and give me a job or, you know, a shidduch or whatever. Ki einam yuset. He ainam you said this al hatocheles v'hal haruhus. You see, you have to hear the beauty of what he's saying, the depth of what he's saying. Ha'ara Toronus is fundamentally reward punishment. So you talk about rewards from Hashem, a punishment from Hashem, rewards from the neighbors, punishment from the neighbors, same maslul. Ha'ara Sichlis has nothing to do with what I'm going to benefit from it. It's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It's a whole different maslul. It's a different thought process. It's a different focus. It's a different perspective. It's me and it's what can I do for Hashem? That's what it means. What can I do for Hashem because he does so much for me? So let me appreciate that he took us out of Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. I mean, Mitzrayim galtano Hashem alokeinu. Right, matzah you got to eat because the neighbor's going to walk in. He's going to see you with square matzahs. How's it going to look? Forget a shidduch for your daughter. Can't square matzahs the first night of Pesach. Even though many earlier gedolim ate only machine matzahs the first night of Pesach, they were so scared of chametz, they said only machine matzahs, you can be sure is not chametz. But now you have, how would it look? My son-in-law is going to come to me for the Seder, and I'm going to take out square matzahs and put them on the table. I divorce my daughter, right? For sure, right? What kind of person uses square matzahs the first night? Ha'ara sichlis, it's like, you know, you have matzahs that are kosher. That's not what it... So, okay, I'm not going to... You understand, you have to be makbid. You have to get, you know, good matzahs. But it's not the point. It's mamish not the point. You're not focused on that. It's a different maslul, he says. You're worried about... It's so easy to fall into the trap of chitzainius. You're saying a very, I think, like, radical idea. He's saying it's easy to fall into the trap of superficiality when you're dealing with the ritual of the Torah, because even if you're a tzaddik, but if you're mired in ha'ara toronis, you're in a superficial place. You're in a place of ritual. You're in a place of rules. You're not in the real kenia. You're not in the place of real kenia, because even your kenia is self-centered. So again, what's the difference? There's no essential conceptual difference between Gan Eden and your neighbors. In terms of kenia, in terms of you and Hashem, it's like really radical. There's no difference between Gan Eden and the neighbors. You know, you're doing it because you want something out of it. You need something. You don't want to get messed up. No difference between not getting a good shidduch and gehenim. It's the same maslul. And in Ha'ara Sichlis, it has to be l'shem shamayim. You have to, by definition. And that's its whole focus, its whole maslul. Achi mitzad ha'chochma, it's because of my recognition of who Hashem is, what Hashem is, what He has done for me, what He has done for Klal Yisrael. I mean, I'm a Jew. Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. It's not like I'm eating matzah. I'm saying, thank you, Hashem, for taking us out of Mitzrayim. I'm not tied to Chatzos. I could say thank you after Chatzos. I could say, I'm not even tied to Pesach. I could take a walk in the street, and I could all of a sudden be overcome with this hergish of gratitude that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, and here I am in Eretz Yisrael. Like, you know, it's like, wow, I can't believe this. Like, at some point I was 2 years old, you know, making in my diaper, and I didn't know about anything, and now, like, I'm connected, and I'm this, and I have a family, and maybe even have a car. It's even better than a family. And like, how did I get here? Like me, like, you know, at some point I was like a puny nothing. And I'm like, oh, you know, you overcome. Then Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah. It's like, so many things. And that's what I'm saying. And Nachum Aspikim, L'Holdus L'Chom. Mitzrayim Gal Tonda, we start from Mitzrayim. Okay, that's number one. So number one is that Ha'ara Toronis can easily be Shalo Lishma. Kniya Tachtona can easily be Shalo Lishma. Ha'ara Sichlis can't. You're in a place which is only Lishma. What can I do for Hashem? There's no neighbors, there's no Gan Eden, there's no Gehenim, there's Akoras HaTov, and what can I do for Hashem? That's what it is. That's number one. Number two, V'Hasheni, Ki Avoda Shehi Me'Ha'aras HaTorah Lotia ela achar hayichu bigmul vihirhur baruhus, meaning afraid of, fear of onesh. Basher tia meharas asechel lotia kiem. Okay, you know what? We'll stop. We'll take it up from here next week, because it's not so clear why this is different than number one. So I want to go over it again. Think about it. It's 5 to 10. We'll stop here. We'll continue next week with number two.
Now, I'd like to comment about the feminist movement.